read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our book pick segment, our last for calendar year 2015, and we are awash in best of list, reminding us of great reads that we may have missed over this past year. But how about books that we can look forward to in the new year? Well, we have plenty of suggestions this morning. Emily Crow joins us to present a list of books that will have you ringing in the new year with great books to read and become engrossed in. Emily is from the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts, as we say in New York. And she also joins us via telephone because the weather is dicey and we wanted her safe and sound. So she is at home base, and we thank her very much for joining us this morning. How are you, Emily?
I'm great, Joe. I barely made it to work this morning, though, so I can't imagine having to drive to Albany.
Yes.
Thank you
We're just very happy to hear your voice. So that's what counts. Where would you like to begin?
I'm going to start with a book that is new in paperback, because I know we have all spent a lot of money over the holidays buying gifts for loved ones, and maybe we want to spend a little something on ourselves, but we don't want to buy a hardcover.
Yes.
It's a book called Descent by Tim Johnston.
Oh, I love this
published
book.
Published by Algonquin, and it's brand new in paperback, and it's been a totally hot seller. You said you loved it?
Oh, yeah, I love this book.
Yeah, it was so good. It's pretty rare in that it's an actual literary thriller. Thrillers really aren't usually my thing, but this one is done so well, and the last 75 pages are some of the most intense reading I've ever done. It's the story of Caitlin, who is a young track star, and she's just graduated from high school. And as a graduation present, her family travels to the mountains of Colorado before she heads off to college. Early one morning, her parents are still asleep in a hotel room, and Caitlin and her brother Sean go for a run. But when he's hit by a car, their lives change forever. The car who hits Sean drives off and leaves him unconscious, and the next driver who stops coerces a very reluctant Caitlin into his truck so they can drive off to find help, and that's the last that is ever seen of her. This is a book told in multiple narratives. We get points of view from just about everybody, including Caitlin, Sean, both of their parents, some of the townspeople who've been helping in the search for Caitlin, and even the abductor himself. It's a story of what it means to go on living when the bottom drops out of your world, and I think it's a great example of what survival of the fittest looks like on a personal level. It's also interspersed throughout with heartbreaking little vignettes of daily life from all of these characters and how their lives have to go on in the face of this terrible loss. And then everything builds and builds to an unforgettable ending. And I would say, whatever you do, make sure you finish reading the last 75 pages with no interruptions.
That's right, no interruptions. I was on a plane, so it was good. I couldn't get off. Excellent. It's Descent, and it is by Tim Johnson and now out in paperback. Next up.
Okay, the next book I want to talk about is called Mr. Splitfoot by Samantha Hunt, and this is going to be published next week, and already the entire Odyssey staff are buzzing about this in anticipation. It's a dark book and peculiar, and it weaves together two different narratives and timelines. The first one is the story of Ruth and Nat. They are two orphans in a home run by this crazy, abusive, religious leader who is known only as the father. And right before she turns 18 and is about to be basically released, you know, out into the wild to be on her own, Ruth discovers that the father has been plotting to sell her into marriage to a deranged cult leader, and she's like, no thanks. So she runs away with Nat, and they make a living holding seances, and they're reaching out across the barrier of death to try to talk to people's loved ones, and they make a killing at it. The second storyline picks up several years later, and we meet Cora. And Cora is Ruth's niece, and she happens to be pregnant, and her boyfriend has been threatening both the life of her and her baby. And so when Ruth appears mysteriously one night, Cora follows her on a pilgrimage across upstate New York. And it's not long before the connection between the two different storylines becomes clear, and the ending itself is very haunting. The writing is tight, and the language is smart and inventive and sometimes playful, and the book itself is a lot of fun, especially if you don't mind novels that have a little bit of the gothic about them, or if you don't mind blurring the lines between what's real and what is imagined.
Great. Mr. Splitfoot by Samantha Hunt, which will be out next week. So put that on your list, and by the time you get around to it, it'll be out.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Exactly.
Next up.
How much time? Are we good on time?
Oh, we're fine on time.
Okay. So I want to talk a book that goes on sale today, actually, and I think it's an important book to be talking about, particularly with young people. It's a book for teens and for young adults, and it's called Unslut, U-N-S-L-U-T. And it's the actual diary of a young woman named Emily Linden who started being slut-shamed when she was only 11 years old. And she was bullied relentlessly in the classroom, out of the classroom, after school, you name it. This was in the late 90s, so there wasn't quite the online pervasiveness of like social media bullying, but it was everything else except for that. Sadly, she was not comfortable telling her parents or her teachers about it, but she kept a very meticulous diary for several years through middle school and high school, and in it, she basically relates everything that happened to her during those years, what it felt like to be bullied, what the real-life implications were for being labeled a slut at such an early age. And in addition to the actual diary, the modern-age Emily has included footnotes and reflections as an adult looking back on those times and what that meant, and she's trying to sort of project what might have been happening in the lives of her other friends to might have make them act that way. And it's really heartbreaking and eye-opening, and it shows how much work we need to be done to eradicate this kind of bullying, particularly sexual bullying in our schools. Emily went on to graduate from high school, and she became a founder of the Unslut Project as a way to contribute to the ongoing conversation about this kind of shaming and bullying, and to help ensure that girls today would have resources to turn to that she didn't have in the 1990s. And it's really well done, and I think every person young or, well, every young person and everyone who works with young people should, this should be required reading for them, and it's, I think, going to be a game changer.
Very important work. Unslut, a diary and a memoir by Emily Linden. Have about almost 5 minutes.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I will try to talk very
slowly. No, you have time for your last two.
Just kidding. Okay.
Okay.
The next one I want to talk about is also coming out in the next week or so. It is called Your Heart is a Muscle the Size of Your Fist, and it's written by Sunil Yappa. And it's a debut novel that is also the launch of Lee Boudreau's new editorial imprint. Lee is the first editor I've ever paid attention to. And now I want to read any book that she acquires. You might know some of her books like Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk.
Oh, yeah.
Or The Song of Achilles or The Story of Edgar Sawtell. Those were all her books that she did when she was working under Echo. And now she's moved and has her very own imprint at Little Brown, and this new book has totally lived up to my expectations of it. It takes place in the Seattle riots of the World Trade Organization in 1999, and the author introduces us to a wonderful cast of characters, and all of their stories become very intricately intertwined. There's a young guy named Victor, and he's a teen who's a drifter, and he ran away from home a few years ago. And at first, he's there just because he wants to be selling weed to the protesters, because he wants to get enough money to buy a plane ticket and just leave Seattle behind him. But very soon, he's seduced by one group of protesters and their gentle insistence that standing together can change the world. And he decides that he wants to basically be a part of that. And we get his story throughout the rest of the protests. And then Victor's stepfather is the chief of police, and he is very, very desperate to try to keep order relatively peacefully, but he knows that there's growing anger and unrest in the crowd, and he's just not sure how he's going to be able to keep a leash on everything. There are two cops. One is named Julia, and the other one is named Park. And they have very clashing personalities, and in the end, we are a little bit surprised by what their actions are with the different crowds. And then the last narrative we get is Charles, and he is the delegate from Sri Lanka, and he is desperate to save his country. And he thinks that the way to lift it out of the poverty and the strife and the civil war that it's been haunting it is for it to be included in the WTO. And so he's completely baffled by the protesters, and he's also the character who has the most to lose when he loses all of his disillusionments of what it means to be, you know, political and the machinations that are going on. This book is really fast-paced, and the writing is super sharp. And I think this is a young author who is really going places. We at the Odyssey were really, really impressed with it, and now it is going to be our January selection for our store's signed First Editions Club. It's really excellent.
Your heart is a muscle the size of a fist. Okay, we have now less than a minute, but you can mention the last book.
Okay, the last book, also recently out in paperback. It's called How to Be Both by Allie Smith. And it's unusual in that half of the books are printed with one half of the story first, and the other half of the print run has been printed with a second story first. So depending on which edition of the book you read can affect the way you understand the novel itself.
Ooh, it's a puzzle. A toy,
it is,
if you will. Fun. Well, for more information on the Odyssey Bookstore in South Hadley, Massachusetts, you can visit them at 9 College Street in South Hadley, or go online, odysseybks.com, odysseybks.com. Emily Crow, thank you so much for joining us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Happy New Year to you and to all the crew over there at the Odyssey.
Thanks, Joe, and Happy New Year to y'all, too.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Just a reminder that we have a roundtable best of book list that's on our website as well. It's wamc.org/roundtable, and you can see our picks for best fiction and nonfiction books as well. wamc.org/roundtable. And again, if you want to see Emily's list regarding Odyssey book picks, you can go to odysseybks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.